look at the world of campus law enforcement in New Haven. Yale Assistant Chief of Police Anthony Campbell stops by the Lisa Wexler Show now on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Anthony Campbell, who joins us a couple of times a month to talk about his views on law enforcement with a very entrenched place in our community, being the former police chief of New Haven and the current assistant police chief at Yale. Hello, Anthony, and welcome back to the show. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Lisa, and Happy New Year to you. Thanks for having me on again.
Happy New Year. I don't know if you had a chance to hold and hear our last caller, but what a perfect segue. Elaine was calling and talking about some of her frustration with law enforcement. Before we get to her specific question about bail reform and things like that, let me just ask you first, because this has been the topic of the day. Do you have any particular thoughts that you want to share with us about January 6th?
Yeah, you know, I really think that thinking back to a year ago, what happened with the insurrection at the Capitol, I think a lot about the two police officers who were killed in the immediacy of that insurrection and how it affected not only their family lives, but their brother, sister, and brother officers in the department, and how the Capitol Police Department is still recovering and how our entire country is still recovering. People lost their lives. It was a tragedy. And we really need to think a lot about where we have come as a nation to the point where we could have something like that happen. It's terrible when we look at what's going on in the political division in our country, but we also need to understand that we are supposed to be the United States of America. And if we could get to a place where citizens have such a degree of little respect for the law that they can storm our Capitol and take the lives of law enforcement officials, we need to understand that the world is watching. Our enemies are watching. And when they see that there is this degree of vulnerability in our country, we make ourselves susceptible to attack. Attack not just from, you know, terrorists on the outside, but there are a lot of major powers, China, Russia, and others, who are waiting for their moment. And I think it's sad that we're handing it to them on a platter. So I think there's a lot for us to reflect on. I heard President Biden say this morning that a year ago, democracy had a dagger put to its throat. And I think he's right. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is that that dagger has not been removed yet. Our hand is on the arm that is holding the dagger, keeping it away from cutting the jugular. But we really have to come together as a nation and make sure that democracy does not die, because it is very vulnerable right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about the Capitol Police. So we're chatting with Anthony Campbell, because Police Chief Anthony Campbell, because, you know, the Capitol Police were somewhat responsible for what happened that day. I mean, people don't want to say it. They don't want to look at it. Nobody ever wants to say anything bad about police, but it is a reality. It is.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. That was a failure of leadership. It was a failure of imagination. You have to, as a police chief and as a police leader, you have to know everything that is going on, the larger picture of what's going on politically, financially. If you know that a large rally is going to be happening in your city, you need to make sure the staffing, the resources. So it definitely was a failure of leadership on behalf of the Capitol Police.
But not just leadership. It has to be said, not just leadership. Some of the rank and file were sympathetic to these people. They were.
Absolutely. And I think that that is part of the division within our country, which is causing these holes to exist. And it's not just the Capitol Police. I think this is law enforcement across the board. Police officers are human beings. They have their own political views. But when you take an oath of office, what you're saying is that I will serve every member of the community equally, and that I will follow the rules, regulations of the Constitution of my state and the rules and regulations of my department. And you saw on video many of those officers not following their oath of office,
That's
betraying
right.
their fellow sister and brother officers and betraying fellow citizens by allowing this to happen. In many ways, they are as responsible and have blood on their hands in the same way as those who attacked with flags and poles and bats and you know, beer, tear gas, you name it. They are just as responsible. So you're absolutely right.
We're chatting with Anthony Campbell, Police Chief Anthony Campbell, 203-333-9422. By the way, Chief, did you hear about that poor little four-year-old girl, the little grandniece of George Floyd, who was shot in her bed at 3 a.m. and by some unknown stranger? And it took 4 hours for the 911 police to arrive. By then, thankfully, the parents had whisked her away to a hospital. They couldn't wait anymore. Did you hear about that in Houston?
I did not hear about that.
Oh,
that is
just
a
happened.
Tragedy.
Just happened.
That's, you just took my breath away, Lisa, because number one, that family has suffered enough tragedy for multiple lifetimes, but to hear of a four-year-old being shot in her bed.
In her bed.
And the lack of response for emergency personnel to be dispatched is a tragedy, insult. On top of things, it's just, that's horrible to hear. And I really hope
Isn't that horrible?
There is a large investigation as to why that happened. Not just the criminal investigation as to who shot her, but also where was the ambulance? Where was the first responder response?
So terrible.
That should have been there in a timely fashion. That's, wow. That's news to me.
Isn't that a wow?
I'm sorry to hear that.
Isn't that horrible?
Definitely.
I heard that yesterday. Couldn't believe it. The Houston police chief is having a big investigation. He's like, that's not what's supposed to happen in my district. I wouldn't think so.
Exactly.
But such a terrible
in any
thing.
Any district in this country.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you. The reason, the important thing that I wanted to talk about with you locally was I saw this stunning, just staggeringly stunning result that there were 25 homicides in New Haven last year. But only
yes.
three arrests made. In other words, only three of the murders have arrests made. I just need you to tell me about this from your perspective as someone who was the former police chief. Why so few arrests? What's going on?
Well, there have been a number of issues, and you're absolutely right. 25 homicides. It was the most deadly year in New Haven since 2011. 25 homicides for a city of 130,000 people is really, one homicide is unacceptable, but 25 is completely unacceptable. And then when you do have homicides, one of the things that you need to do is, A, have detectives who investigate these homicides, develop leads through relationships with the community, and make arrests. Making arrests after a homicide sends a message, not just to the family of the victim, but it sends a message to the entire community that you take the loss of life of any individual in the community extremely seriously. It will not be tolerated. Not only that it's illegal, but it won't be tolerated, and that you value everyone's life. When you only make an arrest in 12% of the homicides, the message that gets sent, whether intentional or not, is that those lives don't necessarily matter, and that you don't have the resources and wherewithal to develop the relationships, gather information, and make the arrest. And that's really what has happened. The New Haven Police Department, unfortunately, has seen a number of its senior detectives retire, a number of its police officers retire, and they are at the lowest staffing levels probably in 25, 30 years. And so a detective bureau that normally should have anywhere from 54 to 60 officers is currently operating with 41 detectives. And those 41 detectives are overwhelmed. They cannot develop the rapport and relationships that they need. Also, patrol has been decimated by retirement, and so they can't form the relationships that they need on the street for people to give them information, to call up and say, hey, you know, that shooting, that homicide, I think I know who did it, or I think this may be some valuable information. And so that's where you wind up with only 12% solvability or arrest rate out of 25 homicides. That's really what's going on. I do believe that over time, as the New Haven Police Department continues to hire, to get fully staffed, and to promote detectives and establish good, viable relationships with the community through community policing, that you'll see that turn around. But it is a process. It is not something that happens overnight. I think this is unfortunately something that will take a few years before they get back on their feet.
But, you know, you in particular, we're chatting with Police Chief Anthony Campbell. You in particular have straddled the two societies that might have well been on, that made us well be on different planets. The Ivy League, you know, cloistered community of Yale University versus the outside city of New Haven. And you continue to be a leader in law enforcement at Yale. Could you imagine if, God forbid, could you just imagine if there was one Yale student among the 25. If there had been 25 Yale students, you think we would still be at the same percentage, Chief? What do you think? Because I don't.
No, I agree with you. I don't think we would be, A, because fortunately here at Yale University, we have a fully staffed detective bureau that is phenomenal, has many years of experience, great relationships with the community, and I believe they would have solved many of those homicides and made arrests in many, if not all. And that's where resources matter. The city of New Haven, unfortunately, had some of its funding cut for its police department.
Who cuts the funding? How does that happen? Does that come from the mayor?
That comes directly from the mayor. And it was kind of a knee-jerk reaction to what was going on politically around the country with the whole defund, et cetera. And that's just a lack of experience. You know, I like Mayor Justin Elliker. I voted for him when I was living in the city of New Haven, but he's a new mayor. He came in during a pandemic. He came in during political turmoil and fell in with the knee-jerk reaction. And I think he's learned from that. I think that, you know, one of the great things that he was able to do was secure funding from Yale University so that the city could have more resources to pump into the police department and other areas of the city. And I think once they really start doing that, especially in the police department with hiring, staffing, you'll see it turn around. But you're right. It would not have happened because funding does make a difference. Money makes a difference. You know, the officers at New Haven fought for 6 years, even when I was chief, to get proper resources just for pay. They were so underpaid compared to their surrounding towns and definitely compared to Yale University that we were losing officers to North Haven, West Haven, East Haven, you name it, because the starting pay was so low, $44,500. We had officers who could not afford to live in the city of New Haven based on the pay. And only within the last 2 years has that been rectified. And so the city is still, police department is still recovering from improper staffing, improper pay. They're getting themselves together. It's a rebuilding process. But in the meantime, the citizens of the city suffer with high levels of crime, violent crime, and these homicides. I do believe it will turn around. They're going through a process of selecting a new chief. I believe that if a new chief comes in, gets the proper staffing, proper funding, develops relationships with the community, you'll see it turn around. And I could definitely.
Do you want the job again? Will they give you the package they wouldn't give you the last time?
You know, someone asked me that. My barber actually asked me that as I get my hair cut in New Haven. I would have to forego my pension. And as the sole source of income in my family, I couldn't do that. It just wouldn't be a financially viable option. If there were a way to work out a deal where I could still get my pension but get paid by the city, sure, I would do that. But the reality is this. I'm not the only one who could solve the problem. There are many professionals, police chiefs out there, including an assistant chief who's there right now, Carl Jacobson, who I think would do a phenomenal job for the city. And the great thing is that I, being here at Yale University, I'm still in the city to offer my expertise and my help, including the resources here at Yale University to assist our brothers. brothers and sisters at the New Haven Police Department to lower crime and to make sure that no one loses their life. One of the greatest accomplishments I had as the chief when I was running the department was having the lowest level of homicides in the city in 50 years. We had 8 homicides in 2017 when I was the chief. And that's you know, something to really, and then the following year, we had the lowest level of shootings in the city since we've been recording shooting.
And you records. Think that, so that, now what's interesting about that, see, to me, what's really interesting about that is that you're telling me that you see a relationship between police and the prevention of crime versus policing and then arresting the people responsible for crime. What you're saying is that
absolutely
you're okay.
There's a definitive relationship. You still there? I think I lost you.
Yeah, I'm listening very carefully because a lot of people see police as being the people to sweep up after the crime, but other people see police as having an obligation to try and prevent crime. They're very different goals and they're very different skill sets.
Absolutely, and that is why community policing is so important, especially in a city like New Haven. Preventative measures make all the difference in the world, and that's what I focus on as a leader of a police department is when you form relationships, when you start seeing who's having arguments, who's having beef, as we call it in policing, and you can intervene before that beef rises to the level of violence or gun violence, then you are literally keeping your shootings, thereby keeping your homicides down. It is the responsibility of the police department, not simply to respond to calls for service or to respond once the crime occurs. True policing or effectiveness measures of policing is the absence of crime, the absence of the shooting, the absence of the homicide. That shows how truly effective you are as a police department. The absence of the robbery, the absence of the purse snatching, the absence of the sexual assault. Because when you form these relationships, when you are visible, having officers drive around with cruise lights on, when your officers are walking, going into businesses, talking, when they're present in the schools and they're a resource for someone to be able to come and say, hey, there's a beef broiling that may take place on the football field or the basketball game, and I heard someone may bearing a gun, and you intervene and stop that before it happens, that's successful policing. Responding to calls and just taking a report and then trying to figure out and make an arrest, that really is a failure of policing because anyone could do that. You need to stop it, prevent it, be proactive, well before the crime occurs. And that is a skill set. That's something I'm really good at and certain police chiefs are good at because it's about relationships. You have to be in the community. You have to know everyone. They have to really trust you. They got to know where you live, what you're about, who you are, and that you're part of that community, raising your kids, your family there too, and that you're serious. It's not just a job. It's a mindset for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anthony Campbell, it's always so great to have you on. Happy New Year. I hope you had a nice Christmas with your family. Did you get away? Did you get any vacation time?
No vacation, but I did spend time with my family. My brother-in-law came to visit from South Africa, so we spent about a week with him at our house. We had a great Christmas, lots of presents. I just fought with the Christmas tree yesterday to get it outside.
Okay.
And yeah, but it was great. That tree, it got me, I tell you, but it was great.
Was it real or fake? A real tree?
It was real, so it left the needles everywhere as I dragged it out the house. Yeah, so yeah.
You know, there's a program. There's a program to compost our Christmas trees now. There's some cool programs around Fairfield County.
With the goats.
Yeah.
I knew about the goats that would eat the Christmas trees, but I didn't know about the compost. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're composting. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you and hear your point of view. You'll come on again in a couple of weeks. Police Chief Anthony Campbell on the Lisa Wexler Show. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We'll be right back.